Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're about to dive back into the world of college football. And to help us do that, we bring in Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, who covers college football. Nicole, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So problems continuing to emerge in the world of college football with COVID-19. An outbreak at Rutgers, Michigan State, you know, Northwestern's had some. Indiana State announced yesterday, I think, 6 players tested positive, forcing a 14-day suspension of football activities. When you look at what's going on right now in the world of sports with the MLB and potentially the NFL, how difficult is this going to be to pull off in college football?
Very difficult. And, you know, I think this is something everyone had thought all along, but – you know, certainly it's different to think about this for 3 or 4 months and, you know, to be anticipating that society as a whole and kind of the communities around these programs would be in a better place, that you wouldn't be putting stress on the that you wouldn't be putting stress on the healthcare system. You wouldn't be, you know, essentially, you know, taking tests or prioritizing tests while other people are struggling to get them, or it takes 2 weeks to get results back, you know, for regular people in these communities. So, you know, that element has certainly added a challenge. But then to see, you know, how quickly, you know, whatever plans are in place unraveled with Major League Baseball, I think was a really big wake-up call for all of these people, because it was 4 days into the season, and that was the first sport in the U.S. that was going to be traveling, that was going to be outside of a bubble. So then you're looking at, okay, well, with football, college football and the NFL, you'd be doing both of those things, no bubble and travel, and the sport is players who are right up against each other, and there's no way to socially distance tackling and blocking. And so then your mind starts to wander. And so, I think one thing that we've learned, again, you knew it was a contagious virus, but I think one thing we're learning with, like, the Rutgers outbreak, with the way that it spread through baseball, is just really how quickly this virus spreads and how many people it can impact.
Okay, so at The Athletic, we have the Slack channels, okay?
Okay.
Different sports, so we different groups of people, and, you know, you can have individual conversations and things. So our college football Slack channel is absolute. I can't keep up with it. Like, if I a couple hours, I'll go away and I'll come back and it's like 48 new messages. Okay, so let's see. Let's just go through the Athletic Slack channel on different things we're discussing.
Is this allowed? Are we allowed behind the curtain?
Well, I mean, I'm just we're discussing things that are all public. Like, okay, let's talk about the Big Ten. Stu Mandel, Northwestern pauses workouts. The mom of an Indiana player describes serious COVID complications that he has had. Michigan State has its students staying home. Rutgers outbreak doubles to 28. We have Gary Patterson saying a racial slur. We have Nick Rolovich being taped by a player talking about the Pac-12, We Are United group, and, you know, basically making it sound like he would be off the team. I can't keep up with all this, Nicole. So really my only question for you is, like, are you okay? Because, it's just this sport is absolutely unbelievable right now.
It has been very messy. It's been, you know, it's funny when, you know, during any of this time frame, you think, okay, I can take an afternoon off or, you know, disconnect for a couple of hours. And you really can't do that right now because, you know, you've got basically since last Wednesday, you've had nonstop scheduling news. Scheduling models and some actual schedules with dates on them from different Power 5 leagues. Then there's the impact of what that means for the Group of 5 leagues you got to check in on. then all of those issues you described, I mean, the Pac-12 player protest, you know, that takes up an entire weekend. You're trying to figure out, you know, how widespread is this? How likely is it that there's actually going to be a boycott? And then all of the other factors. So it's been a crazy time in college sports, and it's all kind of happening at once. And, you know, even some of the things that don't seem connected absolutely are, because, you know, when you talk about players, you know, threatening to withhold their services, you know, part of their platform here, and something that has obviously been very important to a lot of players in the last couple of months, is racial injustice and structural racism and fighting back about different things like that. So, you know, then what happens with, you know, Nick Rolovich at Wazoo and Gary Patterson at TCU, you know, it's connected. It's all connected. And these players have platforms to get their side of the story out, you know, in a way that they never had before. They're comfortable doing it. And then you also have, you know, them realizing that, you know, just how much money is at stake with a college football season this fall. And that if they have demands, if they have things they want to say, they're going to be listened to because, you know, they know how valuable they are. They know what their leverage is. So it is an absolutely crazy time in college sports. You know, later today, there's the NCAA Board of Governors meeting. You know, people I talk to are not expecting a decision on Division I fall championships that are not FBS football, but you really never know. That could expedite some decisions because it would put some pressure on literally everyone in college sports if football is the only sport that is allowed to play a championship and really the only one that's going to kind of happen. So there's just a lot going. It feels like, you know, you talk to different people on the phone and they say, okay, this is, you know, what I think and how I feel right now, but this could change in a half hour.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, that Board of Governors, that's an underrated development too, by the way. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. There's so much going on right now. It's hard to keep up with it. I did want to follow up on the Pac-12 situation, Nicole. Now, I think a lot of what was put out by those players made a ton of sense, and a lot of that stuff absolutely should happen. Some of the financial stuff really can't, as they described it. But what do you think is the – where do you think this leads?
You know, it's a little early to tell. It's hard to tell. You know, I know that a couple of the, you know, the students who have been – the athletes who put their name on things. I know they've already met with athletic directors on individual campuses, at least a couple of them. I think, you know, the Pac-12 has expressed willingness to meet with them. I think that there's a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there's some very reasonable and easy demands to meet. I mean, the first one listed is guaranteeing scholarships if guys opt out. That already exists. That's something the Pac-12 already has made clear, but maybe didn't communicate clearly enough, you know, weeks ago. And so, things like that and you know, medical insurance 6 years after your eligibility expires, like, I don't know how that already doesn't exist, right? So there are some small things in there, not small, but, like, significant but relatively easy to implement that I could absolutely see them doing. But, yeah, absolutely, you know, splitting revenue 50-50, you know, that's not something that, you know, the Pac-12 is just going to offer and going to be an easy, okay, we're going to meet your demand on this. Especially if you don't even know how many players are, you know, not going to play. You don't even know if there's going to be a season. So I do expect, you know, sides to sit together and meet up. I mean, I think there's a lot of very valid health and safety concerns that have been brought up in that list of demands. And things like, you know, establishing task forces about, you know, race relations and things like that also seem very, very doable.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us. And, Nicole, I want your opinion on this because Joe and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. How big of a story would name, image, and likeness be right now if it wasn't for everything going on in college football with coronavirus?
Well, it'd be the number one thing because it's very close to happening. You know, you would be kind of envisioning that new world of, you know, what this is going to look like because, you know, again, so the NCAA is on a timeline where they have to race the clock because Florida has a bill that's going to – a law that's going to take effect next summer. So the NCAA is on these timelines of getting their legislation through, pushing Congress, trying to get that antitrust exemption, all of these things on a very shortened time frame because whatever is going to happen is going to happen next summer. And we would be talking about that. We would be, you know, I mean, I've written about it and sort of what it's going to look like, you know, what are social media, you know, sponsored posts going to look like and things like that. But it has been very much overshadowed. And then, you know, it's an interesting time for that stuff to be at the backdrop when you have stuff like the Pac-12 player protest, because again, you know, one of the pillars of their protest here is, you know, economic justice and this idea of, you know, the generational wealth that a lot of Black and brown athletes are missing because they're most marketable when they're in college and they can't get paid, and how that impacts them and their families for the rest of their lives, right? And so all of that is intertwined. And when you open up a name, image, and likeness market, and you're able to, you know, cash in for your likeness, like, that is going to have a huge impact. It is tied to, you know, a lot of the issues that we're talking about in society. But it's this different avenue. And so it's really a, really a remarkable time in college sports to have that as the backdrop, be, you know, a year away from that taking, you know, significant changes in name, image, and likeness taking effect, where players can get paid for their likeness, for sponsorship, plus they're realizing the leverage that they have because it's a once in, you know, a century pandemic, and they're being asked to play, and they know how much money is at stake for their athletic departments and schools. And you had George Floyd's killing, and, you know, they're realizing, again, we have leverage and power, and our voices can be heard with that. And it's all of these things happening at one time. So in a different world where it's just one, we would be absolutely focused on it. But all these things are coming together, and it's really creating a very interesting dynamic with player perspective and power and voices and empowerment that, you know, and we know things are going to change, at least in the name, image, and likeness space. So it's this backdrop that I don't think we should forget when we talk about this.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, these things are all intertwined. I mean, I look at the Pac-12 thing, and I said this yesterday, I said, you know, this to me should lead to fewer ridiculous arguments from people who either are just afraid of this change or like politicians who have no clue about any of this about why name, image, likeness should be capped. I mean, I can see this maybe leading to an actual open free market, which is exactly what it should be. But
I think that's a good point. I mean, there's definitely been, you know, those who support that. The Florida legislation is a free market, right? There's very limited restrictions. But you're right. I mean, a lot of this is like the public perception changed about like should players in college be able to make money, right? Like that has shifted so much in 5 to 10 years that, you know, even the way you talk about it and what people actually want and what is doable. I mean, the fact that like Congress has bipartisan support for something like this during this time with a really polarized government is remarkable. And so you have a lot of people in Congress pushing for exactly what you just described. And that may only be, you know, that group might only grow because you have a number of congressmen who are very frustrated with the NCAA not implementing national standards on testing. Why are they even trying to force this season through? They're unpaid athletes, right? There's a lot of the same conversations that, you know, we have with people in our space happening at the congressional level, and you're asking them to bail you out, give you an antitrust exemption, be super NCAA friendly with your rules, right? So all of that stuff is intertwined, and it could absolutely impact the way that name, image, and likeness looks and what that market looks like.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Nicole, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Stay safe, guys.
Take a breath, Nicole. It's another long day ahead on the college football beat.
Get out of the Slack channel on The Athletic. Apparently, it's a busy place.
It's amazing. Like most of the sports, it's like a couple messages a day. This, it's like 200 an hour. It's unbelievable.
When we come back, we'll continue the college football discussion. Get into a big decision made yesterday by the Big 12. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.